For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And wow, it's April. Less than a couple of weeks from what we've all been waiting for playoff hockey. I can't believe, actually, one thing I do want to say, I'm going off on a different angle here. I can't believe we used to publish monthly, and now we, like, it just seems so long, like, that, and now, like, since we've done it like this, and it was it's been too long anyways, and so there's a lot for us to get into, so let's get into it.
Well, first though, we want to mention a couple of big accomplishments for our show. So first off, FeedSpot is a media content database that tracks different sources like blogs, YouTube channels, podcasts, etc., and we are very happy to find that FeedSpot ranked our show number one in the category of women's ice hockey podcasts.
We were shocked, actually.
Yeah, like, and it was just so weird how you just kind of happened across it looking for some other information, and then you just found this. So that's a pretty cool thing. And they also ranked us fourth on their list of best Toronto Maple Leafs podcasts worth listening to in 2023. So we actually owe it all to you guys, our listeners, because you make this all possible. And the more you share us and talk to your friends in Leafs Nation, the more, you know, we get noticed. So it's super helpful.
Yeah. And it was actually for International Women's Day. I was just looking, and that's how I came upon it. I was just like, wow, I thought this is fantastic. So thank you to all our listeners and followers on social media too.
And also thank you to FeedSpot
for
finding us and listening and amplifying us. So that's awesome.
Yeah. And another place we were featured on was on one of the podcast tools that we use to produce our show. It's called Elitu. And you can check out our show notes for the link to this article that they wrote on us, and as well as the link to the FeedSpot podcast rankings. So, that was a really good article that Elitu did on us. It was really, really good of them to notice us and ask us to give us our feedback on our show.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we definitely appreciate that. And they are a great company to work with. So if anybody out there thinks that they want to start a podcast, they're really a good app to use. So anyway, we're of course very proud that our show is getting noticed, obviously. And we also want to give a shout out to one of our Twitter followers who goes by @LeafsMom91, who gave our show a thumbs up and asked the question, how do these ladies only have 600 plus followers? LOL. Yes. How indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what we wonder too, but we're good with however many followers we get. So
absolutely.
We're thankful for all of you.
Mm-hmm. So before we get into the show, we want to announce that we will be going weekly for the playoffs. So our next show will be on April 19th, and we'll be going once a week from then on, so we can cover everything to do with the playoffs, hoping that this time around it will be a nice long run. So you're going to hear from us a lot over the next few months.
Yeah, much longer than last season. Definitely.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So now let's get into the show, and we're going to start off with the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then we're going to run the Ladies Talkin' Leafs highlight reel. And in our third period segment, with just over a week left in the regular season, we're going to revisit some of the predictions that we made at the start of the season and see how we did. So without any further ado, let's talk Leafs.
The good, the bad, the ugly. All right. So my good this month, or going into this month, is Mitch Marner. Mitch Marner is the engine of this team this season, I think. Since the All-Star break, Marner has been one of the NHL's top players. And some of the stats that I got from SN Stats to prove that, basically, is up until this past weekend, he's had 23 assists from the point of the All-Star break through till now, which is second of all the players. And he also has points per game. He's 1.68, which is also second. Yeah.
And second to who?
I don't know. They didn't actually say. I didn't see who was first overall.
Got to be McDavid.
Probably, yeah. And then percentage of goals he's involved in is 46.4%, which is third for percentage of goals of the team that he's involved in. So, yeah, he's been – it's just incredible all season. And, like, he's making – obviously, he's been making – or remaking, I guess, the records in the Leafs franchise record books. He's getting involved in that, but he's also proving that he's a top player in this league. So he really should be considered for the Selke Trophy, I think. I mean, we all
100%.
Know we all know that Bergeron is going to be on in there, but and winning it because he always does.
Yeah, and it's because he's a winger that it puts him a little bit behind the eight ball for that, which is unfortunate. I think there's not too many wingers that have won that award. It might actually only be even one person.
Wasn't Pavel Datsyuk, was he a winger or a center?
I think he's center.
Yeah.
And most of the time it goes to a center, you know, because it's what he doesn't do, right, is the biggest thing that he doesn't do is face-offs, right?
Right, yeah.
So, but really, he plays in every situation.
Yeah, in one game, which I'll get to in another point later on, but he played like 29 minutes, which was insane. Mm-hmm. So,
he's got a crazy motor as well.
Yeah, which is why it was good that he had the rest versus Detroit last night. But I just think, like, just this past, since the All-Star break and all season long, he's been the difference for our team. And that's who I'm picking as my good. Who's your good?
My good is Kale Yarncroke. I picked him this time around because, well, first of all, his stats this month have been incredible since he's been promoted to the top line, or, you know, to the line with Austin Matthews as a center. He's got 6 goals, 3 assists, and is a plus player in the 14 games this month. I just think that this is going to be a career year for him. You know, going back to, you know, he hasn't played this well since he was in Nashville. And I think that playing with the elite players he's playing with right now, obviously he's got chemistry with Austin Matthews. That's pretty great. But what I like about him and why I'm kind of highlighting him is that this is really well timed, because his confidence is going to be at an all-time high going into the playoffs. And he's just the kind of guy that we need to, you know, have that supplementary scoring, you know. And you've got, this is the thing, the nice thing is that when you've got that line going, so much attention is going towards Austin and Mitch and, you know, Willie, depending on who's there.
Yeah.
And that leaves a lot of space for him, and he's got an incredible shot. And this gives him a chance to use that. So, so that's why I decided to go with him as my good this time around, because he's had a really big breakout month, really.
Yeah, there were a couple of goals that he scored where Matthews basically drew in the other players and left him wide open, basically, to release that shot. And and he buried it most of the time anyways. He's buried it. So,
and he's, even when, like, he seems to be always sort of a threat. He's like another guy that drives the net as well. Yeah. So anyway, I've liked what I've seen, and I hope that it continues in the playoffs and that this confidence and momentum, you know, carries through and it pays off for us, let's just say.
And I thought it was interesting too that Matthews said that he wanted him to, apparently told Keith that he wanted, like, to play with him a little bit, like to keep it going. So I don't know, we'll see how long it goes, but right now it's going pretty well. And when Marner is on that line too, so I don't know if they, I don't think he played with Willie on the
I'm just mentioning him, just depending on how the lineup ends up getting determined, which we will discuss a little bit later.
Yeah. And speaking of the lineup, though, that moves on to my bad, which is all this experimenting that has been going on way too long, I find, for the 11-7, that lineup that Keefe has been doing for basically, I don't know, it's all March
since
anyways.
Since the deadline.
Like, I understand you, like, whatever. He obviously, there's a lot of new players in the lineup, and there's a lot of, like, combinations to try. And now, I guess, with the O'Reilly injury, that kind of, and Achari's out as well now, like, that's kind of put a wrench in it. But he, once those players come back, he's going to have to, I think he's going to have to go back to the 12-6, obviously, like, to try and.
I think that's the plan all along. I just think that he's trying to get different, it's like more for the pairings, like, than, you know, like, for, like, winger,
because
center, wingers,
so many,
and the depth, just to see who is, who can kind of, who's got some chemistry, you know, especially too with O'Reilly out and not being able to experiment with that. I think they're trying to get a feel for what's there. So
the one thing I found interesting, though, as I look back in March, and basically since March 18th, the game versus Ottawa, there's 8 games where there's a pattern where we win one, lose one, win one, lose one, all the way through. And I think
we better get home ice then.
I know it's because, but to me that just shows, like, it's that it's that imbalance, I guess, that 11-7, like, and it's going into the games too, sort of, like, he does need to experiment, obviously, like, to try and get the right matchups, but he needs to have something now.
I just hope that, like, okay, we're coming into a state where we're, like, coming down to the last 5, right?
Yeah.
So at that point, like, assuming and hoping that O'Reilly will be back for those last 5.
Yeah.
I think we want to see some more stability and sticking with this 12-6.
Yeah.
For those last 5.
Yeah. And then also I find obviously I mentioned to it before, like, how Marner played like 29 minutes in that, because it basically gives the, it
no,
gives
I know,
the,
he doubles
forwards more ice time, right? Because,
yeah, but that doesn't bode well for a long series, a long playoff.
You
know,
anyhow, it's not gonna, it's like you said, there's 5 games left. He has to, and O'Reilly should be coming back like within the next week, I would hope. So he's gonna have to, Keith is gonna have to find a set.
What I don't like about it is that, you know, Tampa in the past has done this, and it probably works for them and their lineup, but I don't like the copycat thing. You know, to me, it's like, you be you, let them do whatever the frick they want. You know, I don't want to try to beat them at their own game. I want to beat them with our game. Yeah. So that's not to me, if you're doing the 11 and 7, and if he goes with that, that's not playing to our strengths, in my opinion.
No.
Especially if you're looking, you know, at the long game in this situation. But anyway.
And what's your bad?
So my bad, I am going with William Nylander in this case. It's kind of interesting. You know, we talked about Kalle Järnkrok, and Nylander's stats are like the opposite of his. So they have the same amount of points, but Nylander only has 3 goals, 6 assists, and he actually is a minus player. Now, I know that a lot of people don't put too much stock in plus minus, big whoop-de-doo. But I find that when Willie's playing well, he's a plus player. And he did score the other night, and there are signs that Dr. Nylander is coming back. but he just kind of seems to have been a little down in the dumps this past month, and it shows in his play. And I don't know. That's why I kind of wonder if they're going to move people around a little bit every now and then just to spark things. But it's a good news that he sort of has turned things around in the last couple games. He's looked a little bit better. But, you know, when he is not engaged and it shows on the defensive side of his game, you know that he's not, you know, he doesn't have it.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I actually found an article where some of the readers wrote in, I guess, on this hockeywriters.com. Mm-hmm. And some of the readers wrote in, and one of the things they said was that the readers thought that Nylander is not scoring as much because he's not carrying the puck into the offensive zone. He's dumping it in as much. At least that's what they
well, were. And I mean, that could be too, because that shows that he's not as engaged. You know, when he's not carrying it, when he's not cycling it, when you don't notice him, there's something wrong. You know, he's not at his best. Anyway, I don't want to harp on him too much because he's having a career year. I mean, he's obviously playing really well. Uh-huh. He's second in scoring. So,
and he's almost at 40 goals, isn't he?
Yeah,
like that's, and he seems to get down on himself too.
He does.
And that's what, that's the part of it. I think he just needs to work through that. And,
as much as he feigns all the confidence and he's, you know, kind of borderline arrogant or whatever, I do think that, you know, when things start to not go well, he is hard on himself.
Yeah.
He just doesn't want to.
He's always
show it.
Out there, and like you see in the practice and that, like he's always like either the first one on or the last one off or whatever, right? Like always working on his craft. But he'll get it back together. He's saving it for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. All right. So finally it's the ugly. And boy, was this ugly. Actually, there's a couple of uglies, but the main ugly that we have here is the anthem singer in Florida. And
yes, that was something.
Yeah, that was something. And I don't understand how they could, especially Florida. Like, I mean, there's so many Canadians that go down there, and you would think that they would have an anthem singer that would know the words of the Canadian national anthem, but that was horrible. And and then also, though, like that, it just proves how Canadians are just, well, I shouldn't say we're so much better, but we are. because that game versus the Sabres on March 13th, where the mic went out, we sang the American National Anthem.
So all the Leaf fans sang it.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. So that's our ugly, but I also need to put in a couple of words here for the referees again and their dealings with Michael Bunting. Mm-hmm. Like that is just,
Have you heard anything today about like any,
no.
I guess Dubas is going to keep this under the table or behind the scenes.
But it just reminded me of the tour that I went on in the war room where the representative there from the league, he said like GMs called him up all the time. Mm-hmm. Right. So, but the,
that
and
would
the
definitely
officials are
there. Be worthy of a phone call.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like he definitely, I mean, I liked how Keefe answered to that because he basically did say that Bunting has to be on the right side of that line, you know, on the correct side of the line. He can't keep going over it, but at the same time, if he's like, they're basically targeting him. So
yeah, because it doesn't, I mean, anyways, we've gone through this so many times now with the refs. So I think they've won our ugly for the year.
Yes, they get the trophy.
They get the
ladies
trophy.
Talking Leafs ugly trophy.
Trophy for it goes to the NHL referees. So yeah, so let's move on from the ugly and see who or what made the Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel.
All right. Coming in at number three, we have a confection, the St. Pat's Shake-Up. It was a special mint chip milkshake that they had at Scotiabank Arena for the St. Pat's game on March 17th. Now, yes. I did not have the opportunity to try it, but Chris, you did. So how'd you like it? Obviously, it made our highlight reel, so it must be pretty good.
I put it in on the highlight reel because I thought it was really good. I liked the chocolate chips were, like, you could really taste the chocolate chips. Normally, I'm not too much of a mint chip fan, but somehow it wasn't overpowering the mint flavor. Mm-hmm. And then the chocolate part of it, it just went. And it was only $4. I couldn't believe it. It was only $4.
Wow.
Yeah. Because I
You're kidding me.
Yeah. So because I was saying to
that
my,
is a deal.
I was saying to my nephew that, like, if it's more than $5, I said, like, don't get it sort of thing, right? But yeah, no, it was very tasty. And it was something unique, something different that they, MLSC, did.
They've never done anything like that before for, like, a theme type thing. Like, and we, trust us, people, we've been going there for a long time.
Yeah.
And so that actually is a really cool thing, too, that they did this fun kind of feature item. And I hope that they do more of that kind of thing. That's actually pretty cool. And and I that was the flavor that the players picked as well, I think, too.
The other one that was interesting, that sounded interesting, was a pistachio one. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind trying that one. But anyways, the mint chip one was pretty good. It wasn't, I don't know, actually, it might have been better than the Shamrock Shake. I don't know.
I've never been to
from McDonald's, the Shamrock.
Like, like you said, like, I don't really like minty stuff, but maybe the mint and chocolate. Maybe.
Yeah. All right. So number two on our Ladies Talking Leafs highlight reel is Sheldon Keefe joining Mike Babcock as the only Toronto coaches with back-to-back 100-point seasons. Yay. And he also joined Babcock and Pat Quinn with 20 consecutive road wins for the team. So yeah, he's had, I mean, it's obviously, we know it's the regular season, and a lot is gonna be on Sheldon Keefe for these playoffs, and the whole handshake line from last season. He's gonna have to forget about that, and he's gonna have to outcoach John Cooper, and he's already had one opportunity, so he's gonna have his second opportunity now, and he's gonna have to. But for the regular season, I mean, and actually one bit of news before I forget. This is Mike Babcock's last year of being paid by us.
Oh, that's good. Some
He's
extra
on the last,
dough.
Some extra money for MLSC to
add another coach somewhere else. And some other kind of behind the scenes
position.
I wonder
if that means Babcock will get back in the league.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Because he's not getting paid by the Leafs. But congratulations to Sheldon Keefe on this accomplishment for the regular season. But yes, bigger things are definitely needed for him.
Mm-hmm. All right. So coming in at our number one, we've already talked about him, Mitch Marner. It's been a magical season for Mitch. He's joined some pretty elite company in franchise history. He's played his 500th game versus Nashville, and his 548 points are the most through a player's first 500 games with the Leafs all time. The highlight for Mitch was the goal he scored versus the Oilers. He intercepted the pass, does a spin move in front of the net, goes forehand to backhand, and then puts it over the Oilers goalie pad. And that was spectacular.
Yeah.
And yes.
It was, as Joe Bowen said, it was larceny.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And and just because it was against Connor McDavid, like, it just made it even better, like the fact that it was against the Oilers. So, and I mean, I guess it would have been better, although we liked soup. If it was Jack Campbell in goal, it wasn't. It was their, I forget what the guy's name is, their other goaltender's name. It's, oh God.
Is it Spencer?
Is this, it's not Skinner. No. That's Buffalo's winger.
I think so.
Right? Anyways, we'll look it up while we're doing
it
this.
It starts with an S.
Yeah. And but yeah, no, that was a spectacular goal. That was like video game goal, sort of.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
The way it was.
Well,
yeah.
You know what? He plays a lot of those, so.
Yeah.
I don't know if he plays NHL, though. I don't know if he plays Chell.
Oh, my. Yeah.
My kids would be groaning hearing me say that. Anyway, Marner was a topic on our show back in October as well. This was when we did our rapid fire prediction segment. And with only a few games to go before the end of the regular season, for our third period segment, we're going to go back in time and see how Chris did with her predictions. And we're going to give our lineup predictions for game one of the playoffs.
Yes. So the third period segment, it was fun when we did that. I re-listened to our show back in October, and where you basically did a rapid fire question with me. And I thought it would be good to just review it to see how I did. So the first one of the questions that you gave me was, last season the Leafs finished with 115 points. And you asked me, are we going to finish above that or under that? And I was actually humming and hawing when I was doing it, but I said, I did actually say just under 115 points. So I'm close anyways. At least I said it was going to be under, and and it ended up being under. So I think I did good on that one. So I took my time, but I ended up getting the right answer.
Yeah. And I guess there's no chance that we're going to be able to make that up.
No, I don't think so. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not unless we basically win every last game.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, we're playing some not so great teams, so chances are that ain't going to happen.
No, actually, we're playing Boston. We got.
Well, we play Boston, but we're playing Columbus tomorrow. So
yeah, and Tampa.
Yeah.
Anyways, because we're not going to have, we're obviously going to have some load management too. So not
true,
all,
which is more important than achieving that 115 points again.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So here is the next question that we wanted to revisit. So do you think Marner will be reunited with Tavares at some point this season? And you said,
yes, I did. And then you put me on the spot, actually, because you did ask me, you asked me, when will it happen? And it's like, how do I know when? Right. But I did say, because Tavares was injured, I forgot, like at the beginning of the year, I forget what happened to him, but he was injured. And so I said, you know, they're going to probably just let Willie, like, be with Willie and Kerfoot for a while. And then if it doesn't get going that way, that they'll put Marner back with him, which they did. But I think they put him back with him in January, I think it was. What, did it take that long? I thought it was a little bit sooner than that. I was trying to find it, but I couldn't actually locate exactly when they did it. But I did say yes, that I did think that he would be reunited with Tavares, and he was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably going to come up in our next set of predictions. But
yes, I think so.
Yeah.
All right. So one last question, which is yet to be determined.
Yeah.
And it's still up in the air. And there is it possible that Matthew Nyes will make an appearance in the Leafs lineup before the end of the season? And what did you say? You said
no. I said, right? So we'll
do you
see.
Still think no?
Yeah, I do still think no. Somehow I think he's gonna be they're not gonna wanna like put him in that pressure type of situation, because everybody's talking about it now.
I say yes. And yeah. I think it's because they want to reward him. Like, depending on what they do, we're going to know on Thursday if they make it to the finals.
Right.
And I think that they want to reward him for a job well done. I think that that is also going to help cement them signing him if they put him in for a couple games. I don't think they're going to make any promises to him that if you're playing, you're definitely going to make the playoff roster.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think they want to see what the kid's got. And I foresee that if he's available, he's going to be up here and he'll play at least a couple games. And I don't know I'd like to see them put him with JT and Willie.
That's where everybody's or most people are saying like to definitely have him in the top six. You're not going to put him in the bottom
just to
line.
See what he's got.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I guess we could revisit this in a couple of weeks.
We could put a little wager on it if you want.
Yeah.
Anyway, so now we're going to move on to some new predictions, and we're going to give our predictions for our playoff lineups for game one. So, Chris, do you want to start?
Okay.
Give your lineups.
So my lineups. So I have this for game one of the playoffs. So I have Matthews starting with Yarncroke and Nylander. I'm going to put Nylander on that right side. Then I'm having Tavares with Bunting and Marner. And I'm having O'Reilly with Kerfoot and Achari. And then David Kampf with Zach Aston-Reese, or Czar, as everyone's calling him, and Sam Lafferty on the right side. So that's my four lines. And I'm hoping – O'Reilly, I like that Ontario line too. I did have, but then I just think having O'Reilly on the third line would give a bit more presence as more of a checking line and a hard ass line basically to play against Tampa. So that's my four lines. And then why don't you give your lines?
So my lineup is pretty much the same as yours, except I have Matthews with Marner on the top line to start with.
Yeah.
But I agree with you that there is potential for them flipping. So Willie moving up and Mitch moving down, depending on whether or not they want to get more out of JT.
Yeah.
That's just a better mix. But the other thing that I actually think could happen, and I do think will happen at some point, is you are going to get that Ontario line. And I do think that they'll move O'Reilly up between JT and Mitch at some point as well. Yeah. When the need arises.
Oh, yeah. I think Keefe is going to, like, at some points, he's going to have to double shift certain players, basically, and to try.
But it's probably not going to happen game one. Let's face it, right?
No.
But yeah, like, you know, they've got that card to play.
Yeah.
Which is actually nice.
Versatility, lots of versatility in the lineup.
For sure. Yeah. And I also think that as far as we're talking about the coaching games between Cooper and Keefe, the fact that he's put them together for several games earlier on.
Yeah.
That's got to be in the back of their minds that's always a potential. And he can pull that out anytime. So they've seen it, you know, he's shown everybody that it's there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's something to be said for that too, I think.
Yeah. All right. So let's move on to the D pairings here. Mm-hmm. So the D pairings, I have the number one D pairing, or like the more of the checking or shutdown pairing, as McCabe and Brody. And then I have Riley with Luke Shen. And I have Giordano with Hall. And Liljegren will be the guy on the outside, basically. And he might get into a game if Luke Shen, let's just say, or if he needs like a break, or if they're noticing that one of the older guys need a break, then he could get in there. And then Gustafsson, I don't know. It's too bad with him. I guess he has some family issues that he's had to leave the team for quite a while now. He's been gone. So, but he would be after Liljegren, basically, he would be another option. But those are my three pairings for game one of the playoffs.
And I pretty much have the same as you. And I think we were kind of talking off air before that really, like, you know, you have to put Hall with Gio. Just for safety. But, you know, Liljegren and Shen, they could basically, you know, play off each other, and both of them can do a decent enough job with Riley, I think.
Yeah. Or even like we were saying as well off air. Yeah. We were saying Liljegren played with McCabe a little bit, so they could put Riley and Brody together again. Mm-hmm. As Brody seems to be the common guy for every pairing, basically.
Yeah.
Right. And Giordano does a good job at that too. But Brody definitely
interesting that they used to be they used to be a pair before in Calgary, right? And they're like the stabilizing factor of the whole decor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, all right, so moving on to goaltending. We both have the same. I might as well just say it right off the top. We have Samsonov starting in goal, and we have Joseph Woll as the backup because Matt Murray, it's just... You feel bad for the guy, yes, but I mean, it's just ridiculous or getting beyond ridiculous now with his injury, or we think he's injured anyways. He's just not dependable, basically, right? I just don't think even having him as a backup is dependable for if, whatever, hopefully, knock on wood, Samsonov doesn't get injured, but if he does during a game, you don't feel comfortable having Matt Murray coming in either. I don't anyways. I don't know how Sheldon Keefe could feel comfortable, but yeah, that's
the only thing I can think of is that there's some guys that basically their psyche changes once it's playoffs, and he could be one of those guys that, you know, when it's all on the line, he basically can gut it out. But like you said, it's unpredictable. So
Yeah. I mean, he's a Stanley Cup winner, two-time Stanley Cup winner, but I mean, he didn't play all the games either during those two Stanley Cup runs with Pittsburgh. So it's definitely we're going to have to have an extra, like a tandem basically in the playoffs. And Joseph Woll, he could be our next Felix Pavan, right? I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Right? You never know. Right? He's,
well, I mean, look at what Binnington did. Same sort of situation. You know, he came in as a young guy and they won the cup. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So he could, Joseph Woll could come in and help us. Let's get past the first round anyways. Sort of thing. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. But that's.
So there's the question there though, then, like, do you think we're going to do it this year?
To get past the first round?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I have a good feeling still, even with this recent, I just think there's the O'Reilly factor to it too.
Yeah.
I think he's going to he's getting himself ramped up. He's not like in his interview the other day, like they're saying, like he's saying there's no need to push it because like for him to come back for these last few games, like he probably only needs like a game or two to get himself going. But then he's basically going to drag them through whatever it is to get past this first round. And
love hearing you say that. It just gives me chills.
As long as Michael Bunting, and that's the other thing I think O'Reilly is going to be good at too.
Yes. A stabilizer for him.
Yes. Right. Keep him in check and making sure everybody's like on the same level. But yeah, I think they're going to be able to do it this time. And as long as we got to have a little bit of luck too, right? I mean, there's
100%.
Every team does need that. And,
we've had bad luck in the last few years, right?
Yes.
So like there's always been something weird that has happened.
Yeah,
so.
Something has always gone wrong against us. And so this year it has to be good that happens to us. And yes, Vasilevsky is a difference there in goal. And really, that's really the only thing that can stop us, I think.
Yeah, and you heard that he was a player of the week last week, eh? With some ridiculous stats. I don't even want to mention them.
Yeah.
But let's just hope he peaked last week, and then that's it. It's all down here from there, downhill from there.
Yeah, yeah. And I think I'm pretty confident that we're gonna do it this time. So. But there's still five games left in the regular season when we're publishing this podcast, and then the Leafs team will again have the opportunity to win the playoff series. So I think they're going to win. I don't know. Do you think they're going to win?
Yes, I do.
Got to have that Leaf positivity, right? Mm-hmm. Belief.
We have to believe. Yes.
Yes.
And obviously, we've known for a while that our first round opponent will be the Tampa Bay Lightning. A reminder, we will be going weekly through the playoffs. So hit that follow button whenever you listen to our show and you won't miss an episode.
Also, be sure to follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our handle is at LTL1917. And a reminder to be sure to leave us a rating or review and let us know what you think of the show. Also, if you do listen to us on Spotify, there's a new feature there. You will see at the bottom of each show description, there's a Q&A where you can give us your feedback on the specific episode. So if you could take some time to leave us the rating or review or answer the poll question, however you want to give us your feedback, it's important for our show to get more exposure as a source for Leaf content. And we thank you for taking the time.
And of course, another way to help us out is by visiting our Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com. You can follow us there. And if you choose to, you can support us by buying us a coffee. Any donation goes towards helping us produce the show and making it even better for you. So you can find the link to our Ko-fi page on our show notes or in any of our social media profile pages.
And as always, we want to thank our healthcare workers and first responders for everything that they do.
Thanks as always for listening, and until next time,
go Leafs, go!
Do you believe?
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.